All right, welcome to the number 16 Weird for Good Hangout and Podcast. I want to welcome again today my friend and fellow coach, Melissa Ford from Chicago. Welcome, Melissa.
Hi, Aaron. Thanks. 16, huh?
16 of these things. Yeah. We've been at this for a while, so that's like 4 months, I think. So, and you can find out more about Melissa on her website, empoweredcoachingsolutions.com. I encourage you to check her out there. And again, my name is Aaron Nichols, and I'm glad you're here with us today. So, weirdforgood.com is my blog and place that I kind of share things. And actually, what it is a space. Weirdforgood.com is a space that I kind of have created in my week that I sit down and I've carved out this little open area where I share ideas, I share experiences, I share too much. I kind of just write what flows through me, and today we're going to talk about space. So Melissa said she had checked out the latest writing and kind of some things I talked about there. So Melissa, how does the word space hit you in this context?
Well, you know, before we went on air, you were talking about creating intentional space and not just running around and being busy. And I would say that for years, I really wanted to be busy because busy looked productive, busy looked important, busy looked like I had it together, busy looked like I was in great demand. And I remember I had a girlfriend who was always busy. She was always overwhelmed, stressed out, busy, busy, busy. And I remember thinking to myself, here we go again. I think that's just a story. I think this is what she tells herself. She overwhelms herself. And the more I looked at it, I realized that being busy didn't mean that I was productive. Being busy didn't mean that I was valued or I was spending my time well. It basically meant I wasn't focused. And so when you talk about space, I'm very aware for myself that I do need to have downtime. I do need to create space in between things that I do, because otherwise I become overwhelmed, I lose focus, and I'm not enjoying myself. I don't have time to decompress.
Yeah, okay, that's awesome. I love that you brought up the busyness concept, because we've covered that a few times in my writing, and I really kind of took a stab at it here again, and I called it the BS of busyness and how popular that is in our culture. I mean, the cultural backdrop, that is just, that's the first thing and the last thing you want to have in a social interaction most times. Oh, I'm so busy and I got this going on and this and this. And so, no, I can't do the things I want to really do because I'm so busy.
Right. So,
yeah, you're right. That story is there. And I think the thing that I'm even wanting to really boil down is, like, does space have to be a rest time or a non-productive time, or is this intentional space that we're talking about actually when the production happens? You know, it is incorporated, it is part of the actual action. As I kind of pointed out on this paper, this is a printout of the blog that I wrote. And you can see there's a lot of white space there, right? Like, there's white when you look at it there. And that's really the background. That's the in-betweens. And so can we sort of get that that space and taking a breath or kind of having that moment to collect ourselves is part of production itself.
Right. So you're not necessarily talking about downtime. You're talking about carving away a particular time frame. So, for instance, when you write your blogs, so you're talking about creating that space.
Yeah, that's one way that I think space can be really important for us, and also to recognize that even in our busyness, even in our jumping from one activity to the next, we really do have tiny, momentary clear spaces in between the busyness of our day, and we sort of pretend that we don't, I think.
Right.
or we sort of pretend that we just move from one thing right to the next, and there's no possible breathing room for me at all in my so busy life. But that's sort of a, I want to test that theory out. Is that 100% true?
Yeah. Well, when I read your blog today, I thought about that, and I thought, is there really space in between the things that I'm running around doing? So, for instance, I have a group that I'm going to have tonight, 6 women, and I had to vacuum all the dog hair off of my carpets, and I had to make sure that I had a shower, and I had to walk that dog, and I had to go to the store, and oh gosh, you know what, I need a nice pair of shoes because my shoes are just a mess, and oh, I have to contact that person that I'm going to be doing something with next week. And so I was thinking about your blog, and I paid attention to the in-between. I paid attention to leaving my house and then the drive to the shoe store. And what was really fascinating was I realized I do have more time than I think. But I get caught up in my head thinking, oh, I got to get to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And it's really not the truth. So I would agree. And being present to your spaces in between helps you calm yourself and really realize you have more to your day than you think you have.
Wow, I love that true life example, and congratulations on your group. Was this the first time you're getting your group together? Or
yes.
Okay, awesome. Well, we've talked about that before here, people that were with us. That's awesome. I know you guys are going to have a great night. So, yeah, it's like you had errands. You had prepared. You need to prepare for this event tonight. And just like myself, in preparing my day to sit down with you at our predetermined time of 2 o'clock, I had those little moments, and I was a little more aware. And this, I haven't solved this, or I'm not, you know, always going to do this perfectly. But taking those little driving moments, or taking those little walking from here to there moments, and saying, you know, can I re-sort of center myself, and know that when you and I sit down, I'm going to be collected and ready for this space that we've created in the Hangout, you know, rather than kind of rushing in and being like, oh, I was so busy today, I don't even have time to think about, you know, getting myself prepared for this activity. But again, that's not 100% true. I had plenty of time to just collect my thoughts, you know, went on a bicycle ride this morning. That's a perfect time to kind of talk out some of these ideas, or to you know, discuss with myself what I wanted to accomplish here. So there's a lot more space, I think, than we do think there is.
Yeah, and I like thinking of that idea space, Aaron, because it's just another way of really acknowledging why it's so important to be present. And it's really gets us to be present by really telling ourselves the truth that we do have time. I have time in my day. And, you know, sometimes I don't think like that. Sometimes I think I don't. And then I run around and I'm crazy.
Yeah, well, and as we've discussed before, that becomes true for you in that moment of that day. Then you really didn't have time. And then something got left off the list that you wanted to do. And there's maybe, you know, some regret around that, or
right,
whatever. I'm just sort of thinking what would be like for me. But so if the truth is that we have more time than we think we do, and that we can fit in little moments to recollect ourselves, you know, what does that open up? To me, it connects with what you spoke about last week, was that, you know, when we feel like we're out of options, then it's hard to be happy.
Yeah.
So that space, realizing that we have more space and more time available than we think we do, to me that kind of opens up our option, you know, opens up the options for us and lets us relax a little bit more on the way to happiness throughout our day-to-day stuff.
Yeah, no, I agree too. And, you know, it's kind of cool playing around with time, because you're playing around with it in terms of space. Steve Chandler plays around with it in terms of a vertical life versus a linear life. You know, every day you wake up, you're born, you go through your day, it's vertical, and at night when you go to bed, you die at night. So there's no future, there's no past, and your day is literally a vertical event. It's not something that, you know, at 2 o'clock or at 5 o'clock, but it's different. And what I like about that is it does keep me more present when I think about space, or I think about a vertical day, or I lose my future.
Yeah, that's wonderful. One of the analogies that came along some point in time was about Jesus being on the cross and how there's a thief on either side of him. And so the analogy was, we are in the middle, we are in our moment, as you said, in the day we're in our moment. And the thief on either side of us can be the future and the past. So like the thief of the future is all this planning or worry or whatever about the future that I can't really do anything about. And the past is on the other side of us too, saying, you know, well, you can't this or you can't that. And we're sort of covering ground we've already covered here. But I think that really fits in, and I love that you're, you know, sharing what Steve says about the vertical, direction of your day, rather than mm-hmm. a linear horizontal worm's life, as he likes to say, I know, of just inching along forward, ever onward down this, you know, this sort of bumpy little road. It's like you could rise up in each day.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So you've had a lot of really powerful coaching experiences as a coach and as a client. Can you kind of speak to the space that's created within the coaching context?
You mean when I'm either getting coached or I'm coaching somebody, what the space is like?
Yeah, I've kind of talked about this before, where I think that space that you make, that work, I call it a work table, or I've called it the log that you split, the splitting log, splitting stump, is kind of like that space is really a unique place that stuff happens. And it's not a space that we typically have in our sort of normal, you know, life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I've been coached by a couple of different people, and they tend to coach differently. Everybody's got their own unique style. For me, when I'm coaching somebody, it goes back to something I learned at a place called the Option Institute. And the space you want to create is the attitude that you have as you're listening to somebody, as you're asking questions, as you're asking if you can reflect back what you see. And that attitude is to be accepting, non-judgmental, and loving of the other individual. And when you have that attitude, you do create a space where people over time feel like they can trust you, they feel like they can say what's going on for them, that they're not going to be judged, that they're not going to be corrected, that they're not going to be told their thinking's wrong. And so that's how I create a particular type of space when I work with people. It's the attitude that I predecide to have it, regardless of what somebody tells me. Mm. And I've heard some pretty crazy things where I could drop the attitude. But with practice, you can do that. You can do that in anything. You can do that in coaching. You can do that in a love relationship. You can do that with anything.
Wow, yeah, that's awesome. So, like, how powerful would it be that when I'm in a discussion with someone, because you're leading, I forgot I wanted to lead to this point about conversation, but it's like that thing that you've created, the boundaries within there, if I know in a conversation with you that I can be open and that it won't be judged, or that it won't be flipped back at me, or used in a certain way, that's gonna really allow me to bring up things that normally I wouldn't bring up, probably.
Right, right. And it allows me, and anybody who's listening to this can practice it, because we do choose how we feel. It doesn't happen to us. And what it allows me to do is that when I'm in that space, when I'm loving and accepting and non-judgmental, I don't have a lot going on in my head. so I can clearly hear what it is that you're saying. And I, in speaking about being present, I can really catch your intonation, look at the expression on your face. I can hear how you say words. They might, you know, the way in which you say it might mean something. I could ask you about that. But it benefits me as much as it does the individual, because first of all, I get a great experience. I'm having a good time. It's like a love fest. And then the second thing is I'm very available, which is what it is that I'm there to do anyway. Be available. Ask a question.
Yeah, that's so awesome. So what I heard something on NPR recently about, I want to say the word was micro emotions or something. There's an expert talking about being trained in the art of noticing or recognizing micro emotions. So it's like the flash of an idea across someone's face that that isn't normally picked up. Like macro emotions would just be if you're smiling or if you're, you know, upset and crying. But micro emotions are the little flashes that go through someone's face. And most of the time, it has to do with a thought that they want to repress. Like they're saying something, but they really were thinking something either, you know, more intense or less intense or something. So they're trying to kind of... And if you're in that space where you're... have let go of your future and your past, and you're just being it present for someone else, you could really notice all the little details there. You could really notice and ask them some more questions that may help open those things up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really great. And what's beautiful about it is that when you do see an emotion, you know, and you're in this particular space, you have this particular attitude, you can ask somebody what they're thinking, because behind every emotion is a thought. Mm-hmm. And then that leads you into what's going on internally for that person. And I've done it a lot. I mean, sometimes I've launched off on, and I've started to say, can I tell you what I see? And I start talking. And all of a sudden I look at the person, they've got this faraway look. And I'll stop and I'll say, what are you thinking? And then they'll start saying something. I realized I was totally off base. I mean, where I was headed wasn't as useful as where they're at in their head.
Yeah, wow. I love that.
Yeah.
And like you said, so what are the couple of takeaways here for someone watching this? I've heard a couple keys. One is there's more time than we think there is, or more space in our day, even a busy day that you've had already today, preparing for this group event tonight.
Yep. There's more space. That's definitely a takeaway. And I think, like you said, is go find it. Recognize it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'll kind of, you know, pull back the curtain a little bit. Every time I blog about something on a Friday morning, which is typically when I blog, for the next 24 to 48 hours, I am severely tested on whatever it is that I wrote about. It's like God or the universe or myself or something says, do you really believe in what you wrote? You know, are you full of crap? You know, and usually I find out that I'm full of crap, but that, you know, I'll say after I posted this thing last Friday, there was a lot of testing of this theory. Like, can I notice in a heated moment, in an intense moment, in an active moment, that there is a lot, that I'm not as pressed in this vice that I really, you know, physically and mentally feel. It's like there is, you know, God is in between all these things, and I've got space and I've got room, and if I can just kind of breathe a little bit, even just a breath in a moment can completely change physiologically the way I feel and change my thinking. Something as small as a breath intentionally taken, you know. And it's not always easy to remember that, I guess.
I would agree, because I tend to get caught in my future. I don't really do a lot of regret of the past, but I tend to, the future, and then I lose it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that can seem very smart and feel like we're something really productive. Is like we're gonna either route ourselves around a problem in our future, or we're going to set ourselves up for something in the future that we want to see play out perfectly. But in the now moment, that really can bring a lot of pain or a lot, cause a lot of emotion, because there's, I think it brings fear up. Doesn't it bring fear? Like,
yeah.
Well, I want to set this thing up, but what if it doesn't work out? And I spend all this time right now to set it up, or, you know, I'm just kind of freestyling on that, but that fear shows up there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's usually why I'm in the future. Even though it may not feel like that, I'm planning, but if I slow it down, I pay attention to what's going on, there's a little fear. So I'm trying to cover everything and make sure it's okay.
Yeah, because if it wasn't okay, that would be bad.
Right, right. Here's a quick one, because I know we want to watch our time here. I thought this was cool. So last night I'm downtown with a friend, and I'm driving back, and she said something about her future self. And I said, well, what does your future self look like? What is that? And I'm like, that's such a cool question. And we were talking about it. She said, you know, this is my future self right here. And let's say we live to 90. What we're going to realize is that it wasn't about getting anywhere. It wasn't about getting to any particular place. It was all of this. I thought, yeah, it's so true. It's just, it's the space. It's the stuff in between the space. It's all of it. And there is no future self. I mean, this all sounds crazy how we're talking, but truly, there isn't one. It's right here.
Yeah, that is, it's so profound. And but somewhere down there, you feel the truth of it at the same time.
Like, Yeah.
Yeah, well, I've enjoyed this space with you, Melissa, and I think that was maybe one of my other takeaways is when we intentionally block out something for ourselves. I've blocked out this hangout time in my week, and sometimes it's you, and sometimes it's been Michael, and there will be other people that join us, but I tend to snap into mode once we've blocked this out, you know. Same thing with whenever I'm in a coaching conversation with someone, or you know, you fill that space that you've created. But if I was to try to find space for this in my week, like when I feel like doing it or when it's convenient or anything like that, it just, those spaces don't exist. They must be created. So,
yep, I definitely agree with that.
Awesome. Well, thank you once again, Melissa. If anyone wants to check you out online, it is www.empoweredcoachingsolutions.com. Melissa Ford, and I can't thank you enough for being here again this week. And my website, Aaron Nichols' website, is weirdforgood.com. So thank you all for being here. Thanks, Melissa. Okay.
Bro. Okay. Bye.
I lost you. Okay. Thank you very much once again, Melissa. I appreciate you.